Astro David Renicky from davidrenicky.com. He's the fireball man. Hello, David.
Good to be back with you, Vilko.
In your part of the world, is it northern New South Wales along the coast there?
Yeah.
A fireball witness, tell us about it.
Yeah, and in Queensland too, by the way.
Yeah.
Places like central Queensland to Tweed Heads. Blackwater is a place that got a lot of reports about 2 weeks ago.
Ipswich over there, dam only last week got something as well.
Yeah. But this lot came from northern New South Wales around Lismore, and overnight, you know, well, not overnight, but the night before, around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, people reporting a fireball shooting across the sky there, and a lot of people said they watched it as it exploded, and you could hear it actually, a sonic boom that rattled windows and things like that. Gave them a great shock. But there's been so many of these fireballs in the past months, I can't believe it. We've had so many. I've never seen so many in one short period of time.
Is that because we're just having to be closer to the to these?
No, you know, not really. Just a coincidence. I mean, these things are coming through the sky all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we get hit by 100 tons of meteorite material every day. And a lot of them do occur in the early hours of the morning when most of us are tied up in bed there. But these were early evening ones, quite spectacular if you've never seen one before.
And that's why that's why there's a lot of observations. People on their way home from work looking at the sky and they get their phones out and what have you.
Yeah. I haven't seen any footage of it, but I've seen plenty before. And we had television editors too. They came down here and did a bit of a shoot from the screens, some images I had from the past. But I tell you what, we're still in the meteor period at the moment too, by the way.
So was that Prime TV in your local area?
Prime then? 7 TV. Yeah, they always do things like that. They've been here before when we've had similar sort of things happening.
Prime 7 do have a website with their local news stories, so I'll see if I'll see if I can hunt down some vision or get it up on your Facebook page.
It might be me sitting in my office there,
Just go in Prime 7 Mid-North Coast and they'll have videos up of news stories, and you'll probably find it up there in the next 24 hours, David. So.
I warn you before you have a look. It's not good.
What do you mean it's not good?
I think you shot me from the wrong angle.
Oh, he's putting an Ariana Grande in. Okay. Tell us, David, about a big new planet that supposedly has been seen.
We've got a new big brother, I think they got it all wrong in 2005. They should have left the whole damn thing the way it was.
Yeah.
Demoted Pluto. But now we've found outside the orbit of Pluto evidence for a large planet out there, Bilko. We haven't found one yet, haven't seen one. But there's a disturbance in the force.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What are they calling it?
Well, we haven't called it anything because it hasn't been found.
Right.
It's only there's movement in the rocks out there. It's a lot of icy bodies in a place called the Kuiper Belt. Now, this circles our solar system way, way out. And this is a body they think may be 5 times bigger than our own planet. But it could be as much as 65 billion kilometres from here.
Wow.
And my argument is, where do you call the city limits of the solar system? As soon as you leave your area, you're gone. I mean, it's not really your city anymore.
Well, I think we've all agreed Pluto's the outer limits, isn't it? And after that...
Well, that's it. No, we've still got Eris and a few other things out there and marking, God knows what else. I think they should have left it like it was, left the marker at Pluto and anything after that, give it a designation, you know.
Yeah, all right.
But this will be found in the future, I'm sure. There is something out there. It is causing a gravitational tug on a lot of the icy bodies out there. So I think if we just hang back and just watch this space for a little while, we might have a brand new ninth planet.
And that's what scientists work on, is the effect this body has without actually seeing it. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, I did see, I don't know whether this is a furphy or what, but someone was actually posting something from the surface of Mars. He said it looked like wildebeest roaming the desert areas. And then you've got this story about Curiosity rover finding high levels of methane. I doubt wildebeest are wandering the plains of Mars then.
No, it's not true. Look, methane has been found on Mars in larger quantities than what they expect.
Don't cattle produce methane?
Yeah, moo cows do at the rear end.
But where's this methane coming from then?
Well, we're not sure. It's certainly not coming from cows or anything. But the problem here is we don't know whether it's a geological process or whether it's something to do with the life form, because living things produce methane, and it's a good biomarker for life. But Mars doesn't indicate any other areas that we've looked at. There's anything alive there. We've never found a fossil, nothing alive, not even a germ there. And we've yet to find sufficient amounts of water. But there seems to be coming out of Mars here quantities of methane Sporadically, not all in the one time. And it's a question mark that the scientists need to answer. Is it caused by some sort of process in the rocks themselves? Or is it some sort of vegetation there under the ground we don't know about? It really is time, you know, to keep harping on this point, when we need to go there with a biologist and a geologist and people who can actually do the excavations and have a look.
That's right.
In real time, you know, rather than a robot trying to sniff this stuff out.
Well, I think one of the first crew going to Mars will have to be a biologist, archaeologist, just so we can do some digging. I mean, it's going to be some heavy lifting for a while.
Well, you're going to need a mixed crew to go there, and I think you know, it's about time. But we don't know what's causing the uprising of the methane. It's just the area that it's in is quite interesting. It's called Gale Crater. Now, Gale Crater is where they landed Curiosity. Because it's an excavation, it's been naturally excavated by an asteroid that carved a chunk of Mars out a long time ago. And if you're going to look for anything there historic or that may be hidden from the surface, you look underground. And that's exactly where they are. Mm. It's tantalizing, but it's not a case of where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm. Because sometimes where there's smoke, there's more smoke.
I think underground Mars is where everyone's going to be keen on having a look once we get there.
So.
Tell us about Ceres. Now, is it Ceres or Ceres, this asteroid?
Ceres, yeah.
Ceres. An ice volcano? Does that mean it spews icy lava?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Weird.
It's the largest known asteroid in our solar system, Ceres. So much so that they've called it a dwarf planet. This is one of the things that was in the changeover with Pluto.
Mm, okay.
Now, it sits between the orbit of Mars and Jupiter. It's in the asteroid belt, about as big as New South Wales. And it's got what's on it. It's called a cryovolcano. It's a volcano that doesn't exude lava. It releases frigid, salty water mixed with mud. And all down the sides of it, you can see the sides of it. They seem to glisten, and it may be because there's water or ice there. We don't know.
Okay.
But it's certainly showing a spatter in the works. We don't understand how a very small body like this bit of rock, this Ceres itself, can still have volcanism going on inside it. Usually, when they're that tiny, they cool down very quickly after they're made. But there's some process going on here. It's not the first time we've seen something like it. We've found the same sort of stuff on Saturn's moon Enceladus. It's got fountains of water ice shooting up, geysers or geysers, if you will, from cracks in the icy crust. There may be something similar going on here. One thing I do know, that now that we've found this there and it's evidence of a lot of water there, it's going to be a wanted quantity. It's going to be a mineable quantity.
Oh, yes.
Because when we go and mine the asteroids for the mineralogy, we're also going to have to look at the fact that water is going to be a wanted commodity when we finally do become a full space-bearing planet. When we're moving to Mars and backwards and forwards, we're going out to the outer planets, you're going to need water, and you can convert the water into rocket fuel as well.
You know what, there may be a way of actually tugging or towing this with a ship back to wherever we set up a colony to give us that extra water to start off with. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's called a cryovolcano. I've got a photograph of it there on the website if you want to have a look. And it is an artist impression, but it's certainly quite interesting. Mm. When you look, here's a volcano that's not made out of lava, but made out of, looks like pure ice.
DavidRenicky.com has all those details. And David, this is interesting too. I know you're a very keen observer of the stars. You've got a guide on there on how to create your own home observatory.
Yeah, it's not a bad little idea. Look, what a lot of people are doing, they're making an observatory at home, and how they're doing it is very simple. You build what would basically be a garage itself, but you make the roof roll off.
Oh.
In other words, it's on...
You put the roller door on the roof.
Yeah, the roof is on rollers, and you have an extension out where the roof comes out from. As you pull the roof back, you've got pieces that stick out from there, beams that stick out where the roof goes onto. It slides onto that, and then just pull it back. This is a good idea. Not a new idea, been done quite a lot for a lot of years. I've seen quite a few of these in places I've travelled to. And you can even get a shed yourself and make the same thing out of a shed. If you're good with tools, you've got to change it. You've got to make it. But the roll-off observatories are quite a good thing when you think you can go out there at night time and have the comfort and the warmth of a little heater inside if you want to. But when you want to do some observing, you simply roll the roof back and the whole sky's open to you and you've got the protection of the walls around you.
And if you want any cool advice on telescopes, you're the man as well.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
All right, David, till next week. David Renicky, keep an eye on the sky for us and keep DavidRenicky.com Push and Active. And make sure you just follow the links there and download his ebook. Still going well?
Yeah, it's going to go well up too. We're coming up to the anniversary of the moon landing. A lot of people asking about it. There are 50 things on there we didn't know about the moon landing, Bilko, and these 50 things are going to turn your head around. I'm sure you're going to find them very surprising. Things we didn't know about. What followed Apollo 11 to the moon? What was it that followed them out of Earth orbit? Yeah. There was something there, and it definitely was there. A long, cylindrical-shaped, metal-shaped thing. Followed them, and they both saw it. Who made the first phone call to the moon? Well, things like, why did they carry a gun, a loaded gun, on Apollo 11?
Oh, that freaks me out a fraction.
Yeah, these things are all will be revealed. It's called Apollo 11, The Untold Story. It is an e-book. It's only $14.99, and I saw quite a few on the website. Go and have a look. It's there for you now.
Yeah, it's excellent. And while you're there too, make sure you have a look at these stories we've been talking about, David. And one thing I've got to mention too, David, I did have a look at First Man for the first time. Would have been two nights ago.
Yeah.
I know I'm way behind the eight ball, but I found it a very hard watch. Neil Armstrong was a changed man after his daughter died.
It was, wasn't he? Yeah. It did affect his whole life, in fact, yeah.
He was an engineer, he was methodical, and he was the right man to get all the other guys out of a jam. He managed to, you know, control aircraft and spacecraft, losing it, but a very troubled man.
Do you remember the scene where he stood at the crater before he came back and he threw something into the crater?
The
little memento of his daughter.
Oh, that's right, the little thing around
you her. You missed that, did you?
No, I saw that. That made me stop. I went, did anyone know that before the movie?
No one knew. He was the only one, not even his close family. He was very close to his brother. In fact, his brother was the only one besides Neil who knew what Neil was going to say on the moon. They were having breakfast one morning and Neil said, "Read that." And his younger brother said, "What is it?" He said, "It's what I'm going to read out on the moon. What do you think?" He said, "It sounds good." Now, what it was that when he died, there was a lot of things in the garage that he'd ratted away. He kept a lot of stuff that he didn't steal them, but he just picked them up on the way from the space program. But his wife, when she was asked about this, his first wife, one that he divorced, they said to her, "Did he do that? Did he throw that little memento that she carried with her? Did he throw that in the crater?" And the wife said, "I don't know, but I'll tell you something." She said, "I'll tell you one thing I do know, that it would be quite within the realms of possibility for Neil to have done that."
Yeah, that was a very poignant moment for me. I thought, wow, he's
communed. Hey, wasn't that scene when they got out onto the moon and walked around there for the first time really, really well done?
Oh, look, it was, it's like they were there.
Yeah.
Well, I was impressed with that. Just the story was very, it was a very hard, long watch. Anyway, that's the way. Not like Apollo 13, which was a bit more exciting, but tragic.
It's all history now, though, isn't it?
Sure is. All right, David, till next week, mate.
Talk to you then.